All right, Ephesians and chapter 6 tonight. Hard to believe we're up to chapter 6 already. What a blessed book this has been. All these wonderful things that we have in Christ. It's just amazing. And here in chapter 6, he continues now with the practical. Beginning in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So doing the will of God from the heart. Let's pray. Use your word in our hearts tonight, Lord, as we look at this passage on service. May it just, Lord, motivate us to be excited to serve our Savior, our Master. So guide us in truth and use your word in our hearts in a mighty way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it starts off with the word servants. Now, obviously we understand the direct application here was they still had servants and masters and pretty much what we would refer to as slavery today. And he is preaching to those servants. And did you notice he's not telling them to flee or to fight against their servanthood, but instead to be obedient to their masters? It's not what you would expect. But what he's teaching us here is there's always going to be people in authority over us. There's always going to be someone we need to submit to. Remember chapter 5, all those occurrences of submit. And we, as God's children, have to be good servants to whoever our master is. And, of course, all of us are servants of Jesus Christ, who is our master. But he's using this example of earthly servants to say, be obedient. Because he finishes the verse there by saying, as unto Christ. As unto Christ. So all of our service, no matter whether we're at work, doing our secular job, is to be as unto Christ. We should be the best employees at our job. Why? Because we're Christians. And we should be serving our boss as if he was Jesus. That's what it says. And the servants were to serve their masters, their earthly masters, as if he was Jesus. And that is the attitude that we're to have here on earth, is the attitude of a servant. Of a servant. That is what Jesus wants, for us to be servants. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. We're to do our best, no matter what we do, because it's as unto Jesus, and he's our master, and he deserves our best. He says in verse 6, not with eye service. Now, we all know what that means, that those of us who worked in the secular world. In other words, don't do what you do when people are looking. And then when they're not looking, you're doing something else. Not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, you're not doing what you're doing to try to please people's eyes. You should be doing your best. No matter where you are, where you find yourself, minimum wage job, it doesn't matter. Do your best. Because it says, as unto Christ. And this is repeated in Colossians 3. Look over there at verse 22, if you would. This reminder that servants were to obey their masters. And I want you to see where God added another phrase here. Colossians 3:22, he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Think about that. fearing God. Everything we should do should be wrapped up in that, in the fear of the Lord. Putting God first. We're doing it as unto the Lord. Because he finishes verse 6 of our passage by saying, but as the servants of Christ. So up to now, he's been talking to earthly servants about how they should treat their masters. But now he goes on and starts speaking to all of us and says, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, you would think that our hearts should want to do the will of God, because of all that God has done for us, because of how much He loves us and how much we should love Him. And it should be natural. And if it isn't, then it's a heart problem. That's why he says doing the will of God from the heart. You're not doing it from your head. You're not doing it for the wrong motive. You're doing it from the heart, because your heart loves Jesus. There's an example in Luke 7. Let's turn back there, of a woman. I don't want to read the whole passage, but I want to just point out a couple of points. You know the passage. This is the woman that had the alabaster box of ointment. And the disciples, of course, made a big deal about how expensive it was. Down in verse 36 is where it started. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. That's a very subtle way of saying she was most likely a modern day prostitute. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. So of course we have the Pharisees condemning Jesus because he allowed this woman to touch him in the first place. Then you have the disciples condemning the situation because of how much the ointment was worth. And Jesus puts all that aside and turns to Simon, who was the person's house it was. Verse 44, he said, seest this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. What made the difference? Why was she willing to do such an amazing sacrifice for Jesus Christ, an earthly physical sacrifice? Well, he told a parable up above. Verse 41, there were a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When he had nothing to pay, frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Pretty easy guess on Simon's part, the one that he forgave the most. How much sin has Jesus forgiven us? That's the point that Jesus is trying to make. If we had to count them, which, praise God, they won't be counted because they're covered under the blood, but if we did, there would be hundreds of thousands of them, and Jesus has forgiven them all. This woman, like Jesus said, verse 47, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So what Jesus is saying is, it should be natural for us to want to do everything we can for Jesus because of how much we've been forgiven. Because when he's telling this parable, who out there has been forgiven little? Nobody. But there are people who take their salvation for granted. The servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Think about what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. He went first and died on the cross and rose again and gave us eternal life. Jesus says, if you love me, John 14:15, keep my commandments. You should want to love me through obedience. You should want to do the will of God from the heart, because of all I've done for you. And remember, right before he went back to heaven, he pulled Peter aside there at the seashore and said, do you love me? And every time that Peter said yes, he said, feed my sheep. If you love me, serve me. The best way to show our love for Jesus? Through service, through obedience. Doing the will of God from the heart. So if our heart doesn't want to serve Jesus, if our heart doesn't want to obey Jesus, what's the problem? Is there a problem with Jesus? Is there a problem with His Word? Is there a problem with the Holy Spirit? We all know where the problem is. It's in our heart. It's the heart that needs fixed. With the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, but the heart needs some work. So notice on our passage, verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord. So there it is again. Up in verse 5, he said, as unto Christ. Here in verse 7, he says, as to the Lord and not to men. How many people out there that are born again and used to go to church aren't in church now? How's that possible? How can they not be in church? Well, because they were serving for the wrong reasons and they got hurt along the way. And rather than continuing to serve Jesus because they loved Jesus despite getting hurt, they focused on the hurt and they stopped serving Jesus. Their heart got affected. And now, they're definitely out of the will of God. And God's got to work on them and bring them back. We are here to please Jesus. We are here to serve Jesus. We are servants of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why refer to me as your Lord and your Master, but not obey? So it doesn't make any sense. How often when we pray do we say, Lord? Pretty much every time. So we're referring to Him as the Lord, but He says, why do you keep referring to me as your Lord, but you're not obeying me? Good question. Problem with the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now this shouldn't be our motive, of course. Our motive should be love. But we serve a great God, and He gives us the added bonus of saying that if you do serve me, and you do it with the right motive and the right heart, I'm going to reward you for it someday. God doesn't have to do that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think heaven's enough. But God says, no, I'm going to reward you. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He goes on to say that we may receive the things done in our body. God's going to reward us at the judgment seat of Christ for the service that we did for Him. And then he goes on in verse 9 to remind the masters, you better be a good master too. It's one thing to be a good servant. You earthly masters, you earthly bosses, whatever, you better make sure you're doing it as unto the Lord as well. And be a good master. It's kind of like in the home. You know, God's going to hold the wife accountable for whether or not she submitted to her husband, but He's going to hold the husband accountable for whether or not he was a good leader in the home. So you better be a good leader, and she should submit to him. He's saying the same thing here. You servants, you should be good servants to your master, whether he's a good master or a bad master. But you masters, you better be good masters, because you're doing it as unto the Lord. But the issue is right here, the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. And that old heart, what's the Bible say about it? Desperately wicked. So we've got a battle. We've got this desperately wicked heart that keeps wanting to do the wrong thing. But God says we're supposed to do the will of God from the heart. So now, what's that mean? It means we need constant heart surgery. And I'm not talking physical, I'm talking spiritual. And the only thing that can do that is God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. So we have to continually expose ourselves to the things that can work and fix our heart so that we're doing the will of God from the heart. That's what God means when He says, for example, in Romans 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What has the power to transform us? Nothing on earth. God's Word, Holy Spirit, transforms us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we need to continually expose ourselves to God's Word, the Holy Spirit in prayer, God's Word in church, be in the Word every day, because our heart is constantly needing work. And we find ourselves doing the will of God, but it's not from the heart. We're just doing it out of habit, or we're doing it because we know we have to, but we really don't want to. We need some heart surgery. Doing the will of God from the heart. That's God's will. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this passage and the reminder tonight, the simple reminder that we need to be serving You, 100% obeying You, but Lord, we need to be doing it from the heart, which means our heart needs to be in the right place, and we pray You would help us to be constantly checking it and allowing the Holy Spirit to check it, and Lord, to be constantly allowing it to be changed so that our heart would be lined up with what You want for us. Thank You for this passage. May it, Lord, do a work in our lives, and may we apply it to our lives. We love You. Guide us in Your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.